Hi, Murderheads. It's your host, Nikki.
And your other host, Taylor.
And together we are Murder, She Taped. So how was your week?
Do you really want to know?
I want to know how your week was.
Oh my God. Well, let's just say I bought myself a Juul vape, thinking I was not going to get addicted. And as we've been recording, I have been sucking back this fucking vape.
At least it smells okay.
It's mango. It's delicious. Yeah. But it's nicotine. Like, what am I thinking? And really, it's because I've been stressed at work and I'm trying to... The girls in my office smoke. And I am trying very hard to not cope with a cigarette.
To not smoke.
So I cope with a Juul.
For someone that has smoked 14 to 21, don't do it.
Oh, that's Don't a long
it.
Time.
It is a long time when you're young and then quit like cold turkey. Oh, ugh, so tough.
Did you go through like withdrawals and stuff?
I would say no, but I'm sure people around me were like, she's the fucking worst. But I don't know.
You feel like you probably were like more bitchy in that phase than you normally are.
Yeah, but I'm always bitchy, so it's like...
That's what I'm saying, you were worse.
Oh, worse. Yeah, more. Maybe. That sounds terrible.
So yeah, I've been stressed at work and coping with not such great coping mechanisms while I intend to one day go back to the gym, which has not even really come up in conversation yet. I'm supposed to book with a personal trainer and I just really am not looking forward to throwing up, so...
You need a trainer that's not going to make you throw up. Start slow.
But it's good when you are working out so hard that you feel like you need to just die.
No. No.
Oh, God.
I like to like start slow. Like, I don't want to not go back to the gym because I'm so sore the next 4 days.
I love the soreness. Like, that is what motivates me to continue going back. If I don't feel sore, and my last personal trainer can totally attest to this, I'd be like, I don't feel sore. I feel like I'm not doing a good job. At the gym, I don't feel sore. And she'd be like, not everyone feels sore right off the hop. And I'm like, I need to be limping to feel a comp, just so I can brag about it to everybody. Oh,
let me get my chair.
I'm so sore
hurt.
From the gym. I did so many squats yesterday.
How was your week? So funny. Mine was good. I was on holidays and it was my birthday. Turned 26. I think my favorite part of my week though was my dad called on Friday and he never calls ever. Mike never calls me. Mike calls me, and I'm like, oh, no, who died? But I was like, hello. And he's like, what are you doing? And, of course, I'm still in bed because I'm just, like, relaxing from my holidays. And he's like, you want to go for lunch? And it was, like, such a – it was a shock, and it was excitement of shock that I was like, oh, my God, yes, I want to go for lunch with you.
Got up. Mike?
Yeah. Like, I was jacked. So, quickly, I mean, I got – literally, I went – like, I had a bath, got – did my hair, did my makeup in under – it was about, like, 45 minutes.
That's a record for the Murderheads who don't know Nikki. Like, we were at your house, and I think you took an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Pushing two, and I was just sitting on her couch.
And that's because, like, I don't... It's not like I'm doing... It's that I like to, like, go slow, then, like, get up and, like, listen to, like, some podcasts, and then, like, brush my teeth twice, and just, like, do shit. Okay,
whoa, what?
I like to brush my teeth twice in the morning. I just... It's a personal thing.
When do you do it in a row or do you do it?
No, like brush my teeth and then like I'll do my makeup and then I'll brush my teeth again and I'll put my lipstick on and then I'll do my hair. Don't look at me like I'm fucking crazy. I think people do that. No? Okay.
I've never heard of that. Like I've heard like brush your teeth and then teeth whiten.
No. No, I brush my teeth twice.
Do you use hot or cold water?
Cold.
So if you use hot, you actually activate the ingredients in the toothpaste to whiten your teeth.
Oh.
Yeah, my friend brushes her teeth in the shower, and I had no idea why. And it's because she showers with really hot water, and she'll brush her teeth in the shower to activate those ingredients. Sorry. I just use hot water.
I don't shower. I have baths. And I'm not going to brush my teeth in like a bath.
Oh.
Gross.
Either way, brushing your teeth twice is a little bit weird.
Yeah, well... Now we know something weird about me. Okay, so my murder that I'm going to talk about today is the Clare home murder-suicide shooting. Do you know this one?
No, I don't.
Okay, so this was kind of the first murder I heard about. It happened in 2011, which is the year that I graduated. And it was the first, like, murder, I guess, like, from when I moved to the city. That was, like, what my mom calls a muddy murder. I told her, I read this out to her, I told her about it, and she was like, what the fuck, that was that muddy murder. And I was like, Debbie, what? And it was just because there was so many details that were misconstrued, people didn't know about. It was getting really confusing for everyone until the story actually broke. But there was rumors flying. It was insane. So let's just jump into it. So start off, I want to give credit to the National Post. That's where I got a lot of the information from. So December 15, 2011, a senseless tragedy sent shockwaves through Southern Alberta. Three people were killed by Derek Jensen in a murder-suicide. However, there was one lone survivor, which, like, fuck yeah. To the person that lived. It sounds crazy, but I got really excited. Okay. So the victims of this tragedy were Tabitha Staple, who was 21, Mitch McLean, who was 20, Tanner Carswell, 22, and the lone survivor was Shayna Conway, 21. I apologize if I butchered those names. Hopefully I didn't. So Derek Jensen first laid eyes on Tabitha Staple at a downtown Lethbridge nightclub, Studio 54. The 21-year-old had been popular with the opposite sex, having had relationships since grade 2, according to one of his close friends. No, relationships since grade 2? I thought about taking that out, but I was like, that's such a good... I don't know, what does that even mean?
A relationship since grade 2?
I feel like... Yeah, like, having relationships since grade 2. That's what one of his close friends said. So maybe they just, like, meant that, like, he was always, like, the ladies always flocked to him, like, ever since he was young. I think that's maybe what it meant.
It for sure means that he was just, like, a little, like, ladies man. And yeah. It was, like, always friends, and all the girls would send notes to him.
Yeah, whatever. So I read that, and I thought it was so funny, and I had to put it in because, like, what?
One stud.
He was a stud in grade two. So it wasn't long before Derek and Tabitha moved into a basement suite together, signing a lease that forced them to remain under the same roof, even after mounting tensions led to their split sometime around Halloween. Move out. Like, I know it's tough for some people, but if you break up with someone and you're stuck under the same roof, like, fuck, that can't be good.
Coworker is actually going through this right now, and she tells me stories all the time. It's hard to do that without constantly feeling the pressure to get back together.
Or, like, lying to each other. Like, if you have plans, like, maybe you're going out with... you're trying to, like, get out there again. That's fucking weird. And I understand, like, some circumstances they can't. I just remember, like, me and my ex broke up, and we were under the same roof. And I just went and stayed with my parents until he could get his shit out. Like, I was like, I couldn't... Like, it's not good for us. We're not going to get along. We're not going to see eye to eye. I don't want to continue talking about the relationship, which I'm sure is probably what happened here, is he continued to talk about the relationship, and she probably did as well, and everything blew up. So throughout their on-and-off-again relationship, Derek had been shuffling back and forth between Edmonton and Lethbridge, completing classes at NAIT to become a paramedic. So he was a smart dude.
Oh, my God. NAIT. Yeah. Interesting.
Local. Yeah. Yeah, so he had one more test he needed to take before completing his program and was planning to make the move to Edmonton to pursue his new career and get on with his life. So a group of Derek's friends took him out for a farewell party, hitting up the Shark Club sports bar to shoot some pool and have a good time.
I do that every week. I go out with my guy friends every week to play pool. Like, what?
I know. This is why it hits home so hard. It's like, they're so young. And it's like, that's shit that I was doing at that age is, like, I mean, I was 18 at the time of this happened. And it's like, you just think about it, and it's just, that's what makes it so sad. So one of his friends, Schwarz is what the name is, I'm assuming that's his last name, he said that Derek was calm, collected, he was happy throughout the entire night. So a few hours later, Schwarz and Derek decided to move the party across the street to a pub that was a popular watering hole for students. So much to Derek's surprise, he spotted his ex-girlfriend Tabitha seated at a table in the bar. So from what I understand, Derek and his friends thought that Tabitha was driving one of her friends to Calgary to catch a plane. So one of Derek's friends said that Derek was likely startled to see her hanging out with two guys that he didn't recognize. So the two guys that were seen with Tabitha were rising football stars and best friends Mitch McLean and Tanner Carswell, who had moved to Lethbridge from Prince Edward Island to play for the Lethbridge Bulls baseball team.
Ooh, East Coast guys. They're the best.
I've never been to the East Coast.
Oh my God, so many of our workers are from the East Coast, and every time they come in, I'm like, And then my branch manager is from the East Coast, so she hams them up all the time. And so they're all a clique. You hear, she hears someone's from the East Coast and immediate friends, immediately they're hired, you know?
Yeah.
But some of them that walk in, I'm like, wow, like you're really nice.
See, I guess I lived in Fort Mac, and I guess it's, I mean, East Coast, like, newfies were up there all the time. And as soon as they heard, like, you were a newfie, like, they just loved each other. Oh, like, totally. I mean, they were instant family.
Click. I'm telling you, it's a click.
So, these boys were expected to be key components to a winning lineup for the baseball team they played for. So, Tanner was an all-star shortstop in the previous year in the league, and Mitch was a rookie of the year. So, I mean, these boys were really good at what they did in baseball. And even after everything had happened, the community still rallied behind these boys. The baseball team just spoke really highly of them and how much they were loved and how much they were missed. So the Wednesday before Mark Tanner's 22nd birthday, and several friends gathered at the pub for a celebration. Among these people was 21-year-old Shayna Conway. So she had moved from PEI as well to be closer to Tanner, which was her on-and-off-again boyfriend. She enrolled in business courses in Lethbridge College and found a job working at Montana's Cookhouse with Tabitha.
Oh, my God.
Love so Montana. I assume
you want to work there?
I do!
After the story?
Well, it's not like they died on Montana's.
I know, but it's just
they
so
just
weird.
Made friends.
Yeah, that's why you don't make friends.
Never make friends. Rule number one. Never make friends, murderheads. So the boys had planned to hit the road after the party to make it in time for their 5 a.m. flight out of Calgary International Airport and back to PEI for the holidays, because it was around Christmas time, like December 15th, so they were just headed home. So when Derek saw his former girlfriend at the pub, one of Tabitha's friends said that he lost it, lost his mind, and pushed her out of a chair as he was yelling at her.
Well, I'd be pissed.
Yeah. So then the friend goes on saying that we left, he was phoning her, and said to her, in quotation, "This night's not going to end well for you. I hope you know that." Foreshadow at its finest.
What would you do if you got a text like that? I mean, I personally would probably go in my vehicle and drive to the police station and hang out there for the rest of the night.
I don't know. Like, because who knows what the relationship... Like, maybe he said shit like this before to her when she was out and she just was like, whatever. I could see that happening. I mean, I did have an ex that used to say, like, shit like that to me all the time. And it was just... I'd be like, oh, you again? Like, whatever. And I'd let it go because nothing ever happened. So maybe she just kind of let it go. It's tough to say. And she was with her friends too, right? So maybe she felt safe.
Yeah.
She wasn't alone. So Schwartz and Derek returned to the Shark Club. And it wasn't long before Derek decided he suddenly had to leave. Derek said, "I'm going to go home, pack up my stuff, and go to Edmonton." That was around 12:30 a.m., the last time Schwartz would ever see his friend again. Kind of shocks me that the friend would just let him go. Like, if they were maybe drinking, 12:30 a.m., you're going to head to Edmonton, which is a far fucking drive. From Lethbridge?
I don't know. You know what? I have a lot of my guy friends that I've made in recent months I feel like a lot of people cope by just going for a drive. And maybe he just wanted to just come back home. He was just done and his friends kind of respected that. And what year did this happen again?
2011.
So there's been a lot of drinking and driving adjustments in recent years. Back, I want to say 2012 and older, it was still something that was campaigned against,
but
it was also a lot more common. So your friend has a few drinks. All right, man, you need to go and cool off and go home. Go cool off, go home, if that's what's going to make you feel better.
But he's going to Edmonton.
It is a long drive, especially late at night.
12:30 a.m.
But again, we don't know if he grabbed all his shit and took off to different places often. I know that's how one of the guys that works here, that's how he copes, and he won't come to shift the next day, and then we'll get a message later and he's like, "Shit happened at home, I drove to Banff," and he'll be like,
"Shit, okay,
all right,
I wish I could just fucking do that."
Mm-hmm.
Just leave to Banff. I was on holidays, I didn't even go to Banff. It's like I need to plan for weeks. I'm a planner. So meanwhile, Tanner and Mitch were exiting the pub. They were about to gear up for their 200-kilometer drive north to Calgary. So they were saying their goodbyes. They parted way with their friends and just said happy holidays. So Shayna, Tabitha, Mitch, and Tanner hit the road around 1 a.m. I just want to say that it doesn't seem like this was really planned too far ahead. So one of Mitch and Tanner's friends were originally going to drive the boys. However, they got caught up in the birthday fun. Don't blame them. And they decided to instead squeeze in a few final hours with friends and make last-minute plans to ride with Shayna and Tabitha. So friends were trying to get in touch with them. However, texts went unanswered until they heard the chilling, tragic news the next morning. So two men and a woman had been found dead on the side of a lonely stretch of highway on Highway 2, just north of Colstrum, so about 130 kilometers south of Calgary. A third man had died in hospital, and a second woman had been flown by Star's ambulance to the hospital in Calgary. All five individuals had been shot. So one of Mitch and Tanner's friends says, it was just a surreal afternoon as details started to come, and you're speculating because you have bits and pieces of information that you're trying to put together. So rumors quickly spread around the small town, which I grew up in a small town. You grew up in a little bit bigger than I did, but you know,
but still,
rumors fly.
Rumors fly like crazy, especially when it comes to people who are around your age.
Yeah. I just like think back to like the first rumor that like actually almost ruined my life. And I was like in junior high, and it's a small town, so people fucking talk. It was like my first birthday party where it was like boys and girls can sleep over in a tent together and like so exciting. And my one friend, she had been dating, I'm going to use that word loosely, one of my exes. So I go to the party, and obviously, like, 12-year-old Nikki's like, fuck this. Which 26-year-old Nikki would probably do the same thing. And I was flirting with the guy, and we had been in the same tent together. Of course, Monday morning rolls around. I am, like, the talk of everything. Like, what a slut, blah, blah, blah. The guy went to another school. And she hated me. All of a sudden, all of my other friends hated me. I was in English class, and they were, like, writing poems about what a whore I was. It was terrible. So I think back to, like, rumors, how quickly they start. It's like the game of fucking telephone.
I can totally relate to that. I mean, in grade 11, a rumor is literally what triggered me to move from my grade 12 year. Like, I lost all of my friends, all of my support, my entire group. In, I want to say, less than 2 months. Yeah. Like, I was homeschooled for the last end of grade 11, pretty much. I did not go. And it was because of how bad it got and how quick it got bad. Yeah. I mean, rumors in small towns are detrimental, especially at that age.
Yeah, and I think that's what my mom said was so muddy about this murder. Is, like, instantly, it was like, these people are found dead. Instantly, rumors.
Yeah.
So, as officers probed the scene, some said that the Grimsley scene was the result of a drug deal gone bad. Not even close, but again, rumors are flying.
Mm-hmm.
By the evening, details emerged that Tabitha, Mitch, and Tanner were among the dead victims of homicide, and that Shayna was the injured woman. Derek was identified as the gunman, dead at the scene after committing suicide. So on Saturday morning, RCMP confirmed Derek was responsible for the three murders before turning the gun on themselves. So in detailed account, RCMP revealed that Derek had also been driving north on Highway 2, apparently in search of Tabitha. So when he said he was going to Edmonton, he really wasn't. He was going to go find her.
Oh my God.
So in Claire's home, he located the group at a 7-Eleven convenience store while they made a quick stop. So from the surveillance videos, it appears that the group didn't know that Derek was there. Instead, RCMP spokesperson added there was no confrontation between the man and the group. He was really just watching them.
What?
Which is even more scary.
So he was supposed to come back to Edmonton, but really he was just...
I feel like that was an excuse to just, I need to get out of here, I'm going to Edmonton. But really, I'm going to go find her. Or maybe he thought about it after. I need to talk to her. I need to see her. But I just...
And then he saw her with guys, and he just got...
But he already seen her with guys at the pub. That's why he was so upset.
Oh, so maybe he saw that she was still with them.
So maybe he was like, I need to go talk to her. But I mean, he was... We'll get into it, but he was ready. So moments after leaving the store around 3 a.m., the group was on the highway when Derek ran the back of their SUV, prompting Shayna, who was behind the wheel, to stop the vehicle and step out. Police don't know if she knew who had hit them. I don't know if I'd get out of my car at 3 a.m. But you're with your friends.
And there's a false sense of security when you're in a group of people. Like, what's this person going to do? I have two guys that can protect me if I need.
Yeah, and make sure he rammed into them. So she's
and so
like,
you need to get your his like, insurance fuck, like, information.
Give me your insurance, sir. But again, like, I don't know if they were really thinking.
I don't know. I mean, how many times, whenever I've gotten into an accident, whether it was my fault or not, they immediately get out of their car and I immediately get out of my car. I mean...
But if someone rammed you on a highway at 3 a.m.?
Yeah, but what if they were just drunk and they hit your car? Like, you don't really think about, oh, this guy's coming to kill me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, you're not thinking like worst case scenario.
No, your immediate reaction is to just get out and
get
that person's information
because you can't afford to pay for it. Or see if they're okay. Yeah, like, are you okay? Like, make sure everyone's okay. So after he had hit them, Derek then jumped out of his car, aimed a 9mm handgun, and shot Shayna several times. He then pumped bullets into the SUV, striking and killing Tanner and Tabitha where they sat. This makes me so sad. Mitch, who had been shot, managed to escape the vehicle. He was found by the police in the east ditch of the highway, rushed to the local Claresholm Hospital, and airlifted to Calgary, but died on the way there. Ugh. I know. That's a tough part. Derek then pointed the gun at himself and took his own life.
So frustrating.
I know. So Shayna's mother and sister, who had rushed to Calgary, shared the young woman's account of the slangs. They said the force of the first bullet sent her stumbling to the ground, and then he shot her two more times before shooting her friends. So Shayna then crawled to a cell phone, called 911, and waited for help to arrive. So Shayna is described by her family as selfless and feisty. So from what I read...
She's you.
I know. That's why I love her so much. I got so excited in the beginning. I was like, she lived. So from what I read, it seems that she's made a full recovery, which is great. Like, physically, I'm sure. So that's good news. So this is the part where I said, like, Derek was ready. So while searching Derek's car, officers discovered two more firearms, a loaded 12-gauge shotgun and a loaded Winchester rifle. Three of the weapons had been registered. Officers also seized a firearm and ammunition from Derek and Tabitha's home.
Do you think he actually intended to kill Tabitha?
I think so.
Yeah, you think that was, like, his angle was to kill her?
Yeah. I think he was, like, so caught up in, like, being so upset. I mean, who has that many fucking weapons on them? It's not like it's November where it's, like, hunting season. It's literally December, right before Christmas. He probably went home, packed up that shit, and was like, let's go.
Yeah.
That's what's so scary. So one thing, Derek's friend said that they were aware that he owned guns, but that he respected them and he treated them like, quote, babies. They also said they'd never seen him do anything violent or hurtful. However, Tabitha's friends knew a different version of Derek. They say that he had a violent streak. So I think it's kind of unfair for his friends to say that he never did anything violent. I mean, he pushed her off a chair earlier in the evening at the bar. So I can't imagine that was, like, the first time he was ever violent with her.
No.
No. Right?
And domestic violence is... domestic abuse, I should say, is so common.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know about it.
And also, like, you're young. Like, I remember, like, being young and, like, I didn't think that, like, my ex was abusive. Looking back, now I'm like, fuck, like, yeah, you threw beer bottles at my head. Like, yeah, you were a fucking dick and you were abusive. I just tried to always, whatever.
Rationalize it.
Yeah, he's violent. You know, I probably pissed him off. I did something.
Yeah.
So no domestic relationship violence has ever been reported to the RCMP or to the police service in connection with Derek and Tabitha's relationship or separation. So four lives were lost and one was altered forever in what I think was a rage of jealousy. My heart goes out to the family and friends that have been forever shaken by the senseless tragedy. And that's the Claresholm murders.
That is so frustrating. He literally killed himself. There's no justice.
No.
This poor girl who lived now has to deal with...
That's why I said, like, she's physically better, but, like, mentally, like, that's... I can't imagine. I would love to talk to her.
Especially if
she ever listens to this. Please call me.
Let's talk. We'll do an update.
To you.
I just can't believe that... Do you know how many times that there's been a guy who's been interested in me and who's gotten frustrated with me because I didn't share those feelings?
Yeah.
And could you imagine if he turned out to be some psychopath?
I know.
And how common that is. Like, a lot of murders that I've been researching or love, like, podcasts I listen to all have to do, like, with somebody who's interested in someone else and it wasn't reciprocated.
Yeah.
I just listened to something on Sword and Scale, actually on the way here. And it was with this girl who was chopped up by a machete.
No.
By
I don't like that.
A guy who, yes, I know, by a guy who was infatuated with her, but she was like, no, he was actually stalking me. Like, I wanted nothing to do with him. And he was like, no, we were in a relationship and she wasn't replying to me. And
oh my God.
Then he, and yeah, and it's, people were videotaping him murder her. but we're too scared to do anything about it.
Oh my God.
And I'm just like, man, this is why you don't break up.
Never break up with your boyfriend. Well, like, from someone that's single, I think about all the online dates. Like, I mean, I talk to people and I'm like, I try to be safe about it. But you can go on a date with someone 3-4 times and they get infatuated with you and you decide that you don't want to date them anymore. That's the scariest fucking shit to me.
It is, because you don't actually know them.
You don't know them. But I mean, even like, even after a year of dating someone, like, I feel like I look back at my ex that I dated for a year and I was like, did I really know who you were? No. We lived together and I didn't even know who you fucking were. Turned out to be a totally different person.
And by the time you live with somebody, like, they know your entire schedule, they know where to find you, they know everything about you.
So never move in with anyone ever.
As me and my boyfriend are looking at a house.
Yeah. I don't know. That's why this murder fucked me up so much. Was that, like, one, I was around the age. I mean, I was 18 when it happened. I just remember hearing about this murder, and it scared the fuck out of me. Two, it was such a confusing murder because no one knew what was going on for a long time. And there was no reason for it. I mean, he shot them and then shot himself.
Probably because he didn't want to spend the rest of his life in jail thinking about what he did.
Like, murder suicides frustrate me so much. Those are the cases that I'm like, well, fuck you.
That's why, like, you know, I've always been the person who's been like, I believe in the death penalty. And then I hear about these stories and it's like, no, I want them to rot in jail for the next 100 years mm-hmm. and sit there in that cell and rot.
I mean, at the end of the day, there's no justice that comes from this case. Like, you took 3 young lives, and one that, yeah, she survived through it and she sounds like a fucking badass, but her life has forever been changed. I'm sure she's still, like, her boyfriend died that night. Like, one of the guys was her boyfriend. Like, she lost so much of herself that night, and she was so young.
Did you ever, like, read more into her? Like, did she ever, like, release any, like...
I tried to look at research. That's why, like, I would really love to talk to her. Like, just to get to know, like, what's her side of that night? What did that night look like? I tried to look up some stuff. I couldn't find anything.
No interviews
really,
or nothing.
Yeah, that was really... could tell me much.